We talk to Patrick Manley every Tuesday during the football season. At this time, he joins us via the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear. He is also a part of our pre- and post-game coverage on our football Sundays, and he watches every game that we care about because he's good like that. Patrick, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys, and it's actually fun to talk about a game this week and not talk about coaching searches and a draft pick and all that kind of crap.
It absolutely is fun to not talk about that crap because I don't care about it right now either. We had a heated debate earlier on the show talking about Ben Johnson's comments saying that he's simply focused right now on his defense not giving up the points. Where do you stand on this?
I just feel like he has to outscore his opponent. And I think that 49ers game kind of summed it up. I think he knows what he has defensively right now. You know, they show him they cannot get after the quarterback. They're struggling with man-to-man. And if they don't get the turnovers, they struggle. And I'm just hoping that turnover machine, whatever they had, that magic stuff they had going on in the middle of the season comes back. Because if they do, I think they can go on a run. But I just think he realistically looks at this team and understands that this defense – it's not good. They've had a lot of injuries, and they haven't performed up to the level. Like, Montez Sweat is not performing up to a $100 million contract. They've had a lot of injuries, of course, and Kyler Gordon, hopefully he comes back and helps. But, again, I just think he's trying to say, hey, I've got to outscore him. I've brought here to score points, and let's go.
This segment with Patrick Manley is sponsored by Packy Webb Ford. Patrick, let's be honest. If we went to load up all the good players on defense into that El Camino of yours, you'd have plenty of room left over. Listen, can we all just accept it is what it is? Like, I don't understand how we're here to the playoffs. I mean, 17 games have been played, and we aren't all on the same page. It does have to be the offense if they're going to advance in the playoffs.
No doubt. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it just... The NFL has changed, and what's interesting now is we are talking about this top-notch offense in the NFL. It's exciting to say that about the Chicago Bears. And, you know, Dennis Allen has a tough job. He has a real tough job with a lot of injuries, but they're just not the strength of this team. And, again, it just has to be the takeaway machine, the turnovers, whatever you want to call it. If they can get those things going again, we'll be okay, but that's not a given. I think it's kind of shown that was a nice little streak they were on. Al Harris talks about it. We should get them every week. Sure, but it's not happening the last few weeks, and I'm nervous about that. I'm very nervous about that just because this, guys. You go into that last week, and you expect the Bears to kind of take care of business against the depleted Lions team, and they didn't. They didn't show up offensively. They obviously didn't show up defensively. They did in the red zone, I will say that. They didn't allow them to score points, but it didn't look good in between the 20s. So this makes you nervous going into the playoffs where you thought a game against the Lions. You know, like, all right, let's build our confidence. Let's get going. Let's execute, not make mistakes, step up our game on defense, and be ready for this run. And I just finished that game being a little more nervous than I thought I would be.
All right, this is driving me crazy. First of all, Pat, we're watching Pat on Twitch, and you can join in on Twitch, too, if you like, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Are you wearing a Pat Foley t-shirt, like as in the Blackhawks broadcaster? What does it say?
That's my guy, man. All I see is Pat Foley is a legend.
He is a legend. What was your shirt?
He is a legend.
So, it says Pat Foley's a legend. Okay.
Yes, I had him made for him when he had his big retirement thing for the Blackhawks.
Oh, wow.
I was fortunate enough to be part of his crew that day, and I had a bunch of guys over to the condo before, and we went over to celebrate that last night for him. And it's one of my favorite t-shirts. I love wearing it around because you can tell a true Blackhawks fan. They'll be like, yep, you're right. They'll just say, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
But it is. I forgot I had this on. Yeah. Pat Foley is a legend.
They're the voice of success with the Chicago Blackhawks, and hopefully they'll get back on track. But, all right, let's do this, Pat. Let's start to look at Bears and the Green Bay Packers for a third time this season. What's the first thing you're looking at in breaking this game down and getting the Bears to win a playoff game?
Jordan Love has not taken a snap since December 20th. You know, is there rust there? I'm curious about that because it has been a while since the last time he's played was against the Bears. So was there rust there? And you're hoping for that. But then the other part is, guys, that last week, both teams took week 18 and prepared like it's the preseason. The Packers rested their starters, but the Bears played like it was the preseason. So I'm nervous about the rest that they have and that they are a lot of veteran players on that team that – that rest might be, I think Matt LaFleur made the right decision with that team and resting those guys. Mm. They've been there before. They understand what this playoff run is like. So that scares me as well. But the biggest thing, Grody, is Jordan Love. So does he have rust? Does it take time to knock that rust off? And can the Bears take advantage of that early on and get some of those takeaways? So we'll see what he looks like when he comes back from his injury.
Well, and additionally, Patrick, I feel like when Jordan Love was at his best this season against the Bears, it was recognizing the blitz looks that he was seeing mm-hmm. out of the defense. He didn't seem to find it confusing. He had a check down answer practically every time, and that's how they were able to pick apart the defense so well, especially in that first game.
Yeah, and I think Dennis Allen has a – I'm excited to see what he draws up. I think he's seen some of the deficiencies with this defense playing as much man-to-man and blitzing as much as he has. The second game against the Packers, he didn't bring as much, and they were a little better. Obviously, they were really good in the red zone. I think 0-for-5 in the red zone for the Packers. But it will be interesting to see what he dials up and kind of figures out. If C.J. Gardner-Johnson can't go, who fills in for him? Can Kyler Gordon come in and play as much as we hope and be as healthy as we hope? But I just want to see his game plan going against Matt LaFleur and what he does against Jordan Love, just because he's shown what he did against Kyle Shanahan didn't work. You know, they targeted Nashon Wright, which is scaring me right now late in the season, that teams have all this film on a player who had a great year and caused all those takeaways, but is really struggling one-on-one. And we saw that last week as well against the Lions. So Dennis Allen has a lot on his plate this week to figure out what he can do with this defense and how he can combat Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love.
Former Bears long snapper Patrick Manley joining us as he does every week here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. And Patrick, I like what you did when you talked about the rust, because I've been convincing my compadre here, Mark Grody, to tell me how exactly the Bears are going to win. That's, you're doing the work for him basically by giving me a reason why I can believe in the Bears. The problem though is you look at the last five games that the Bears have played. Outside of that Cleveland game, who are, you know, the Browns, they haven't forced more than one turnover when they play good teams. And so unless it's that rust that you're talking about, tell me how they're going to create havoc for a quarterback. Last time I looked pretty comfortable throwing little quickies where guys were outrunning everybody to the end zone.
It's true, but Jordan Love will throw the ball up. We know that. We've seen that. You have to take advantage of that. There was a play two weeks ago, December 20th up in Green Bay, where he threw it up and Nashon Wright, there was a pass interference penalty against, not on him, because, you know, Nashon Wright would have basically come down with it, but I forgot who the receiver was, tackled him so he wouldn't get it. So there are situations and opportunities that Jordan Love will throw the ball up. You just have to be able to capitalize that on that as a defense. And that's the difference I want to see that they can do. And Jordan, like I said, Jordan Love will throw you the ball. He's going to throw it up and give his guys a chance. But the Bears have to take advantage of that, and we'll see if they do.
You, sir, have been calling for this matchup for a while. I know that you're mm-hmm. not afraid of it, but it is high risk, high reward for the fan base. What do you say to the fan base? Because what I've noticed here, Patrick, is there's a fear factor. And I understand where Bears fans are coming. I'm like you. Like, I'm all for this matchup for the sake of the buildup, and everything will just be so on such a grand scale from the second I wake up on Saturday, from the second that I leave Soldier Field on Saturday. What do you say to Bears fans to be less scared and to calm down? Because the whole season hinges on this. The whole thing's going to be a train wreck if the Bears lose.
Just embrace it, man. Let's go. It's Bears-Packers. Believe it. Anything can happen on a Sunday. And I'll say this. A couple weeks ago, I was excited because the Packers were banged up. Now they're getting healthy, which scares you a little bit. And I thought the Bears were trending in the right direction. Even though they lost to the 49ers, I thought, okay, offensively, we're going to be able to score points. We've got it going. The machine is back. We're going to be able to run the ball, throw the ball. Well, they didn't do that against the Lions, so that does scare me. So I am scared a little bit. But I'm not scared. And what I mean that is, it's Bears-Packers. Let's go. Just believe in it. It's going to be fun to watch. We have the Soldier Field crowd there, which is going to be a huge advantage, which some people were saying that's the loud. Maybe you said it, Mark, the loudest Bears crowd people have heard in a long time. The last time they played, it's going to be a Saturday night. But anything can happen. And here's the other thing, Mark. We have young players that this is their first time stepping into the playoff arena, right? Embrace it. Let's see what they can do. Let's hope they get many more opportunities like this. But I do think we have enough playmakers on this team that can step up and take this over. And the other one is Caleb Williams. You know, as we've seen in the fourth quarter, the end of halves, his game turns up when the heat turns up. Well, the heat is now turned up in the playoffs, and he wants to be great. He talks about he wakes up being great or wanting to be great. Well, let's go. And I think the young man can do that. And I think that's one thing we might have on our side now is a quarterback who can embrace these situations and games like this and play his best.
Our segment with Patrick Manley is sponsored by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Patrick, I also want to ask you about the concept of playing a team three times in a season.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yes, exactly. And what that means as far as the odds maybe or how a team goes about it. We've talked a lot about maybe having Ben Johnson. We wonder, is there something that he's been holding back, you know, that's special for the playoff playbook? What's the process like, and how do you think it's going to go knowing that these two teams are facing for a third time this year?
I think it's the biggest thing. It'll be on the coaches. The players, you know the player. You know the guy across from you. You watch enough tape of, you know, Zach Tom versus Montez. He knows enough about Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat knows enough about Zach Tom. Everybody you've gone across from, you know how they play, how their hand placement is, their footwork, all that kind of stuff. Now it's the chess match between Ben Johnson and Halfley and LaFleur and Dennis Allen and Bisaccia and Hightower. It's going to be what they come up with, what kind of wrinkle can they throw in there, what have they seen maybe in two games that they can exploit, what have they held back, and like what you said, what has Ben Johnson held back? He talked about running a simple game plan, and we talked about in the post game, were they maybe ahead of themselves in a good way of saying, okay, we are going to go vanilla like you do in a preseason and then bring all this other stuff out in the postseason that could be some wrinkles that we haven't shown before. It will show like a basic alignment. He likes to make some certain things look the same and same things look the different, however that goes. But maybe there are some alignments and things like that, motions that he's going to pull out and confuse the Packers. So the answer to the question, it's the biggest thing going on right now is the upstairs at Hallis Hall with those coaches putting that game plan in yesterday and today.
Hey, Pat, real quick, I want to read something to you coming out of Hallis Hall, right? I think this is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Just tweeted by Chris Emma from Ben Johnson. He says, quote, "We're mentally prepared to play for five more weeks. That's our intent. How do you do that? You go out and win the first one. We're going to go all out for this game, and we'll worry about the future when the time comes." What do you think that means in terms of going all out and do what you have to do? Does that mean that we will see, should see?
Everybody's playing.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I hear right there.
Okay.
Rome's playing. Kyler's playing. Everybody's playing. If you're nicked up, you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you can get through it and be healthy because each week is different. The next opponent the Bears play after they beat the Green Bay Packers, I said it, after they beat the Green Bay Packers, can be nicked up as well. So, that's what I hear, is just everybody is out there. We're going. We're not worried about the following week. If somebody is questionable, they're freaking playing. And I love that. That's the way it should be.
I love that, too.
The guys, Rome has sat long enough.
I love just the energy that this week has brought to this city.
Oh, yeah.
And just the different conversations I've had with so many different people. Some of them not even like diehard sports fans, but they understand what is happening. And I love it all, Patrick. Here's my question to you. Because of this rivalry and the way we're looking at it, do you think not enough is being made of the fact that the Packers have lost four games in a row? And there are reports out there that Matt LaFleur might be coaching for his job this week.
It's crazy. I heard that with Mike Florio this morning. And that is true because they're the seventh seed, but they've been the seventh seed every year. That is he doing a good enough job? And what is it like at Hallis Hall up there at Lambeau right now? I don't know. And he could be, but a four-game losing streak is tough, but they have enough guys who have been in this position before. Again, I said that earlier. That's what scares me a little bit. It's a different animal this week. This preparation is different. Your mindset is different. Everything is different, and they've been there before. So it's great the young guys for the Bears are going through it, but that's what scares me a little bit and gives the Packers a little bit of an edge. They've been there before. They've run out that tunnel before and embraced these games before and know what it's going to be like, that it is turned up quite a bit. People talk – you go from preseason to the regular season, everything turns up. Well, it double turns up from the regular season to the playoffs. This that intensity and everything like that is definitely turned up. But there is one thing I do want to say about last week's game. I don't want to get this out there, that Ben Johnson came to the podium when he got hired. And he said, "I want guys to be comfortable being uncomfortable." Well, I think they've learned how to do that. And I think this week at Hallis Hall, after that loss and after that press conference and his demeanor and the way he talked, guys are going to be extremely uncomfortable at Hallis Hall, and I find that a good thing. I don't want them to be comfortable going this game. I want them to be on top of everything, not being overconfident, and let Ben Johnson be hard and coach the way he does. And I like that, and I kind of like that going into this week of They are going to be uncomfortable. They walk into that meeting the day after the game against the Lions, and they're like, oh, blank. This is not going to be comfortable with their head down waiting to be coached hard. And I think that's going to pay dividends for this team.
Patrick Manley, we always appreciate your conversation. And before we let you go, there's no better person to talk to about the game last night.
Poor young man.
Okay, so some are blaming the snap, some are blaming the holder, some are blaming the kicker when it came to the blocked or ultimately blocked field goal that could have helped Illinois State. Poor Mark Grody, he's taken the surrender cobra position. So how do you feel about the apparatus of the special teams last night for the Redbirds?
As a person who's been with those units, everybody takes blame. But as a coach, I'll coach it. The snap was not good. If that was me, I would be upset. I would be disappointed. I thought the holder did as well as he could. The kicker, that's tough. You know, I think a lot of times when that happens, that's happened before. So I think there's a little stuff going between his ears before that snap. And obviously the situation of being a game winner and even before that, he's just a little nervous about it. But the snap was not good enough. That's the answer. If I'm the person in that position, I'm taking the blame for it as a long snapper. And I feel really bad for him and his family and his teammates, but that's part of the job that you get called to do that. They say our job is simple. Hey, not everybody can do it.
Should they have gone for it? That's because the quarterback wanted that, bad.
Yes, if I'm a coach, knowing that I have an issue with the operation there, yes.
Yep.
But it is something so simple that you can do in high school. But again, pressure bust pipes, as they say, and all that stuff. And it's difficult. It was so hard to watch, man. My head just went down, and I just felt for him and felt for his family. And I felt for the Illinois State because they had it won. The big comeback to come back and do what they did. It's just difficult to see when you have something so simple you see every week in and out, high school, college, and pros executed flawlessly to come down to that. It was unfortunate.
Heartbreaking. And then also we just didn't know who was responsible there. Like that was unfortunately
the snap needs to be better. I mean, that's if you're coaching it, the snap has to be better.
He will never be nicknamed Snappy.
And bounce it and put it down.
Did you hear that? Did you just hear
what did he say?
He said he will never be nicknamed Snappy. He will never earn that nickname that you have been given by me only. And me only.
I thought we weren't gonna use that anymore there, Brody.
Oh, Brody. Do you two need to settle this?
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, we will.
Yeah. We will.
Tonight and get on Brody.
We may only. I mean, think about it. You, me, Olin, and Patrick may only have one more pregame to just cut.
No, we don't.
Oh,
we
got more, man. You're right.
You win.
Yeah. We've got more.
He told you win, believe. Not if. He said win.
We're preparing for 5 weeks.
Win the Bears.
Five weeks, man.
Let's go.
Okay. Patrick, I'm with you. You have turned me into somewhat of a believer.
Wow. I didn't have to do any of the work.
I said somewhat.
You got a few more days before Saturday.
You're right. I got to find out who's healthy and who's not.
Exactly.
That's right. That is true. That is very, very true. And then can Caleb outplay Jordan Love?
Yes. You're the best,
five
man.
Five more shows. Patrick, thanks as always. This is a lot of fun.
See you guys. Have a great week.
See you, buddy.
Thanks,
Patrick. Patrick Manley. He just puts a smile on my face, and then I'm so sad. We have to discuss this. A game that ended up being one of the best of the entire college football season. And the amount of eyes that were on it. And then what ended up happening?
No.
The agony of defeat. Let's break down the Illinois State-Montana State FCS Championship game.
Wow. We're doing it. Oh, man.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Miles Sandstead. Snap, hold, kick. Oh, good! For a national championship! In overtime!
That was the call on ESPN. Illinois State in overtime, losing to Montana State 35-34. And if you heard Patrick Manley, the Bears long snapper did say the problem with the field goal that was missed by Illinois State that would have won the game was a bad snap. Pain! Pain! That was such an emotionally invested game. And I committed to it. I said it on Twitter. I was like, okay, I'll get unnecessarily emotionally invested into this game. And then it paid off, which doesn't always happen for me. Yeah,
It was a blast of a game. I was lucky enough to be hosting a watch party at 93 Octane Brewery in Elmhurst last night. Big place, and it was a wall-to-wall crowd. Shout out to everybody out there. Shout out to the Greater Chicagoland ISU Alumni Association. They were there in full force. Absolute blast. All I could tell you is that I don't like this taco guy. This taco guy is a little bit of a pain
taco
in the butt.
Taco Dowler.
I prefer the Lord over Taco.
Praise Dylan, the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Both had touchdowns last night.
The nuns would have loved you.
What?
The nuns would have loved you.
Oh, Taco Dowler. Yeah, and Tommy Rittenhouse, the quarterback from the Burbs. I believe he's a Geneva kid. The parts of Chris Emma.
Taco Dowler plays for Montana State, and he was the nemesis of the Red Burbs
absolute
last
nemesis.
Night.
You know who he looked like? Amon Ra. Just for most recent memories. And you know, to be honest, you know who Tommy looked like? Tommy Rittenhouse? Caleb Williams.
You know how much I know you love sports? That analogy. And what's
it's
funny
a great
is
analogies.
Normally we would not be talking in a Bears playoff week about an FCS championship game. But number one, it was one of the most exciting postseason college football games we've had so far this year. And then additionally, it was the Illinois State Redbirds. Your story made that watch party look on 10. Like it was crowded. There were two stories of this event.
I couldn't believe it, honestly. Like I expected that with the powers of the score and the powers of the Redbird Alumni Association and 93 Octane, I guess I should have figured it was going to be packed, but I did not think it was going to be that packed.
93 Octane lived up to its name because that was the hype beast that powered this game. And I turned it, I'm not going to lie, the Bulls scored 33 points at the half against the Celtics, and I was like, nuts to this. I'm watching the Illinois State game, and I'm going to get attached to this game, and I did like a barnacle, and I feel rewarded and sad at the same time.
Okay, two questions. Number one, was the Bulls game even on at this bar?
It was. It was on like a 1-2 before, because I obviously got there early.
Was the Bulls game in the first half?
So it was the Bulls game was on 1-TV, and of course it was blaring on the score from our station before Illinois State, because That was what was on the score.
So I was living in a sports bar without alcohol, aka the ABC 7 sports office, where we just had TVs everywhere.
So I was watching
the Bulls at my desk. I had Illinois State on like three TVs up here, and I was like, "Oh, this is pretty good." And Illinois State came out kind of flat, kind of bearish, but so did the Bulls. And here's what I'll say: when Dane Steele, like when they finally scored, right? And there's like less than a minute to go in the first half. It's 14-7. I was like, all right, Illinois State's not out.
Because they were down 14-0. Redbirds come back 14-7.
Three plays, 75 yards, 36 seconds. This dude, Dane Steele, jumps over a dude, clear hurdle, stays on his feet and scores. I'm like, oh, I don't know if Illinois State's got in them tonight. They're down 21-7 at the half.
Yeah, the double hurdle. That was, I got to say, like from an athletic standpoint, that was pretty sick. That was pretty sick seeing it. Wasn't it Taco that was doing that? Was it Taco?
No, it was still that.
Taco had like 96 yards at the half, though. I'm telling you, I got way too invested into this.
Yeah. What else did you think, Layla, about this game?
I mean, I was with Marshall. I was like, ugh, Bulls, 33 points. And so I like,
get this
okay,
out of here.
FCS game, let's go.
All eyes on ISU.
How can these people disappoint me tonight? And then, just like life, I turn on that game and I was like, oh, 21-7. Okay. But then I kept watching because I was like, I don't know, maybe something different will happen. And then come back, those valiant Redbirds did. And Rittenhouse does have he has an arm, man.
Yeah.
So also it was funny because it was a shared experience. You know, Jeff Schwartz, who's normally posting about NFL games, was also watching the game. Like Pat Forty was tweeting about it. You felt like you were part of something.
Yes.
And I'd rather be a part of that than whatever was happening in Boston at the time.
So when this game, like when I found out when it was, and of course you had your watch party, I was like, wait, why are they playing on a Monday? That's so random. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh wait, this is like a sports hole on the calendar.
Totally.
And once you opened up social media and saw how many people were talking about this game, as you said, Layla, it was like, oh, we're all watching this like it's the freaking Super Bowl.
And I'm one of those people where if you're into it and you're into it, then I'm going to be into it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And we saw
civic pride.
Well, yes. And kind of. And frankly, as somebody who went to a public school in Texas, you bet your ass I'm cheering for Illinois State. And Illini, that goes for you too.
Yeah, that's right.
But because I do feel pride in that respect. And I, especially when it it comes to athletic programs. And you also kind of felt like you were watching an NFL game in the way everybody was talking about it at the same time.
It was beautiful.
And Jeff Schwartz nailed it, man. Illinois State had to gain 1 yard for the title, and they chose to kick a field goal instead. Oh. And then we saw what happened.
Yeah.
It didn't go.
How about the quarterback, Tommy Rittenhouse, the quarterback for Illinois State? Like, you could see him on the sideline saying, go for it, after the fact. So he was not happy with – I didn't think Brock Spack had a great night as a head coach last night.
Well, again, yeah, there were so many – there were failed decisions. And then we saw them score the touchdown, and unfortunately it ended up being 35-34 because of, yet again, a missed extra point. And yeah. I think Patrick Manley is correct. Once it's in your head – it's in your, I mean, come on. This is the championship game.
Yeah.
Is it bad that when I saw Tommy Rittenhouse being demonstrative, I was like, oh, this is just like when they went to break that one time and you saw a head coach mouth, should have gone for it.
You really did take it to the Bears.
It was fresh in my mind.
I got to say this right now about Marshall. Marshall, you are doing a masterful job of making sure we weave in just a little bit of Bears, just because it's tough. Like, it's tough to justify a college football segment. You're doing a great job of just keeping a little bit ISU and a little bit Bears.
Well, can I give you my ultimate takeaway from this game?
Please.
It was, Bears. I hope everybody in the Chicago area, everyone who is a Bears fan that is taking this in, understands the ramifications of decisions early, late, penalties, everything you saw on display, because that is what playoff... I know it's been a while, right? It's been a while, but that's what playoff football is. And so when you get to Saturday night, you're going to be looking at so many different decisions that are made, lack of execution. If there are penalties, Bears only had 4 penalties for 25 yards, by the way, on Sunday. I think this was a warning shot for a fan base that has Venn diagram strength. And how many people are Illinois State fans that are also Bears fans? This is how things can go. This is how tenuous things can be when you're watching your team.
Yeah, after the double doink, I'm pretty sure we're well-versed on that
But that's
part.
Been a while.
No, that's pretty... Like I said, I don't even count the 2020 playoff.
That's the last playoff appearance?
You and I are so together on that,
It's just
Layla.
Like Community, it was the gas leak year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... It doesn't count. There was no point to it except for the Saints using that failed Javon Wims play for success the next game.
Do you think Cole Kmet's like, I've just never played in a playoff game? This is my first ever playoff game?
If that, you know what? That's a good question for Cole on the Take the North podcast
tonight.
We'll
ask him about that.
How much
wait.
Did the 2020 playoff game against the Saints count to him?
Yeah. We'll get some realness out of him, man. And he's seen as a fan and growing up, he's seen some things, man. He saw what happened the last time the Bears played the Packers in the playoffs, the NFC title game in 2011.
How old was he in 2010?
That's a good question. I can't do that math.
I'm doing it right now.
What year was he born?
Just a baby.
He's just a baby, too. I wonder,
he is not a baby. He is a grown 26-year-old man.
26.
So he was 11?
26 is still, in my eyes, just
he's
a baby.
11 in 2011?
In 2010.
It was
the 2010 season.
2010 season, 2011.
So yeah, he was 20. Yeah, he was 11 years old.
So 2001, we didn't have a chance. He would not have been sports conscious at that time.
No. His sports consciousness was.
I'm sure his dad and his uncles have told
just
him.
Just a baby.
He was just a baby.
He was literally just
Here's
a baby.
Here's another thing too. Like, to your point about the variances and anything that happened. Like, and somebody brought this up on the text line. I meant to bring it up earlier. This will be Ben Johnson's first time as a head coach in the playoffs. Man, we know how good this guy has been all year long, but you don't know how he's going to comport himself in the post. Like, I think Pat Manley is right that going all out, as Ben Johnson said today in his press conference, means that everybody's playing. But does go all out also mean bust out the big trick plays? Does it mean blitz happy on the defensive side?
It means if it's 4th and 5, they go for it.
That's good. Yeah.
You bet your ass you're going for it. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
rethink that.
I will never forget watching zombie-eyed Dan Campbell against the 49ers. Oh. And I'm like, I am you in this moment. We are one and the same. I'm like, I'm thinking the same thing you are. Go for
it. Was he 0-for-5 in that game where they lost? And he was just like.
But every single time he was like, I'm going to send it.
Like, it's crazy though, right?
I would absolutely do the same thing.
Here's my question to both of you. Like,
he was all of us. He was all of us playing Madden.
Brock Spack.
Except it was his team.
So Brock Spack, the head coach for Illinois State, he got super emotional when he asked about preparing for this game because he said, win or lose, it just all kind of abruptly comes to an end. That's what it was. They were trying to become the first team in FCS. They were already the first team in FCS playoffs history to win four straight road playoff games. But they could have become the first team to win all their games on the road to win a championship last night. It doesn't happen. My question is, based on what we just said about Ben Johnson, are we all prepared to just live with that level of decision-making, understanding he set us up with the all-out, that this is what it's going to be, or are you going to second guess when it is an all or nothing and he says we're going for it and it doesn't work?
We talk about sports for 4 hours a day. Of course we're going to second guess. That's our job. It's our literal job.
I mean, it's tough.
That's the whole point, is to ask if not, then when, and we're talking about scenarios. It's our actual job.
It's so hard, though. Like, if you actually go back to the scenario where they have the ball on their own 33-yard line.
But I knew they were giving it up, so the question was, give it up now so you have time to actually make it up later.
You know what this is? This is you dealing with your first Bears playoffs.
Marshall's working through something, you
Yes, 100% I think he's working through
it. He is. Well, Pat Manley, so far, is the only person that's helped him. I have not been able to help him,
he
Layla.
He has not helped me, not one iota.
Layla, you've not been able to help him. What do you need from us? Why can't I help you? What
I need
you
a
need?
Logical explanation of how the Bears are going to beat the Packers, understanding, and we've got all week to get into this, I don't see an area where the Bears are superior to the Packers.
847, by the way, with the nugget we needed. Cole Kmet's younger brother is a freshman quarterback on Illinois State, Cooper Kmet. And then another one of his brothers was playing baseball for Notre Dame. That Kmet family.
It's a talented family.
They might be athletic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's cool?
Oh, like, so you got to talk to Cole about Cooper then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guarantee absolutely. Cole Kmet was watching the game for us.
Well, you're right. If his brother's on the team.
So Cooper.
For the culture.
I imagine Cooper's probably, what, 19, 18, 19?
I'm about
something
to come up
like
with
that.
Those answers for you.
But this is what's really cool, because Cole is 26, 27. So he's got younger brothers. How cool would it be, like, when he got into the NFL, like, they're, like, really young. So it's like, oh, cool, my big brother is playing football. I always thought that that was a cool little story in the Kmet family.
He is 19 years old. Okay. He just turns 20 later. On October 6th, he turns 20 years old.
I'll see if we can justify a little Illinois State time.
What do you mean?
Take
his brother literally played for a national championship.
It was the only game on yesterday.
Marshall, we got serious, serious Bears stuff. It's so serious right now.
Also,
you know it.
Poor Redbirds. They can't even get their own segment. We still got to Bears it.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's totally Bears it with Ben Johnson. He spoke earlier today at Hallis Hall. We'll play you some of that sound next.
Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. And it's a day where at Hallis Hall, normally Tuesdays, the Bears are off, but not today. Today, the Bears are speaking because everything has moved up a day thanks to the Saturday night game against the Packers. And Ben Johnson was at the podium. So what does he think about playing at home in these playoffs?
This was the vision from the beginning, was to have some home playoff games, you know, at Soldier Field. And so was really excited about that opportunity and to see that come to light here this year. Big credit to our guys. You know, he kind of talked about a little bit yesterday, you know, the fact that you win the division, that you're having home playoff games, that's huge. You know, it's why we do what we do. And now we've earned this opportunity and we got to make the most of it.
Well, he said all the right Coachy McCoacherson things there. But yeah. To earn the home playoff game is a big deal, though. The Bears being the 2 seed is a big deal.
I mean, it's more than a big deal. The path is there. It's just a matter of, do they have the talent and the, for lack of a better word, do they have the fortitude to do what it takes to take advantage of this situation? You're going to get to play, if you win this week, another week at Soldier Field, which is crazy if you go back to the beginning of the season, how we were looking at this team.
What's crazy is that they're playing a team for the third time, too. Like, you heard the consternation in Patrick Manley's voice. Like, that almost... It is tough, especially when it took the last play of the game to beat them. You know, the first game was close. I think both teams have a reason to like their chances here.
And, like, I think part of what Pat's talking about, too, is the reason it's hard is because teams get real comfortable, like on like the Packers are probably real comfortable playing at Soldier Field. It's just the way it works. I never forget like when I was doing pre and post with the Cubs, and I would ask players, this is between 15 and 17, I would ask players, where do you most like going to play? And they'd be like, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, because it feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. Feels like another home. Like, it's like they understand, know the city by now. They know the stadium. They know all the little idiosyncrasies. So that's part of what it is when you're playing for the third time. Like, Soldier Field is going to help. Home field advantage is something. But make no mistake about it, these Green Bay Packers are completely comfortable setting foot on Soldier Field.
What I remember about being there for that last game, and this is where they have to be better at the outset of games, just have to be, cannot mess around. What started out as home field advantage almost felt like a home field disadvantage because of the nervous energy surrounding, like, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something?
On the first play of the game.
Well, I mean, that's just how it is against the Packers, too. Well,
yeah, but that was off the hook. That was crazy.
Oh, you're talking about the DeMarco Jackson crowd surfing?
Yeah, yeah. Were you onto something else?
Well, no, I was saying after that, though, as the game went on, like, first drive coming all the way down the field.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, that drive does not end the way that you would want it to on the turnover. For the Bears,
right?
Because of the bad snap on the trick play, however you want to line that up. But then as the game went on and on, the Bears offense wasn't doing anything. And so what I'm saying is, where you have your fans behind you, then the fans get nervous because you're not doing anything. If you come out strong to start, you've got the fans behind you the whole game.
No doubt. Restless
but the longer crowd. You go without, yes, the restless crowd,
it
goes from a restless crowd to an anxious crowd to a, now do the players feel the energy not going their way?
Ben Johnson also talked about, and this speaks to the texter that we had earlier, it was the caller, it was Keith, with his sick kid. So you remember how Keith said at the doctor's office that the Bears should have been playing their best football in December? Well, ask and ye shall receive, Keith.
An example that you can think of seeing your guys take their good and see it become their best, or have you not reached that yet?
I haven't sat back and reflected on it to that extent, but I've seen every player get better this year. I've seen each unit get better this year, and the team's gotten better. You know, we're a lot better than we were earlier in the season, from top to bottom. Certainly the belief has been there. Confidence has grown. And so I think we're at a really good spot here going into this week.
So does that answer the question? I feel like he's saying a lot of very perfunctory answers.
You know, good, better, best. They're in the better phase. They have not reached the best. That's what I heard.
What I hear too is like I noticed this in the press conference too. Like he doesn't really want to do the reflecting thing right now. And I understand, the reporters got to ask those questions. Even after I was asked those questions, like when I was doing my interview with Montez Sweat, like how do you reflect back on the season? Like Ben Johnson has no interest right now in reflecting on the season as a whole and reflecting on what just happened as well. Like he's ready to just he is short-sighted on this playoff game, and all those other questions will be answered later. It sounds like
he's in taskmaster mode.
Totally.
Well, so how does he feel about the slow starts that this team has had?
As you try to problem solve the slow starts, what has worked this year and what has not been effective?
I don't know that there's a right answer for that. There's a process I believe in terms of how we prepare these guys. I think we got a lot of great professionals, and I think anytime you bring attention to something that they look to fix it, and that's what we're doing here this week.
Have you dealt with the frustration of some of that when you designed these first 10 to 15 plays, however many it is, and drilled those over and over, and then it doesn't look right come game day?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of alluded to you before, anytime we take the field on offense and we don't end up with points, then yeah, I'm disappointed. All of our guys are disappointed, so... You find out what happened, what went wrong, and you look to make those corrections and put it past you. So that's how I deal with it.
He sounds a lot more calm today, even than yesterday. Did you hear where he said that they made 11 mistakes?
Missed that.
It was like 6 mistakes in the first 11 plays or something like that, where I was like, wait a second, how many mistakes did they make in the first set of plays? And their first drive went 8 plays. So I was very curious to, like, I almost want to go back on and look at the film tonight because I'm a dork and try to see if I can find where they were.
Was he talking about on offense?
Later? Yes. Yeah.
11 mistakes.
It was something along those lines. The word 11 was used, but I don't have the verbatim off the top of my head. Because frankly, guys, you know what I was doing last night? I was watching the Illinois State game.
That a girl.
But I go back to say this because you can tell he's a little more calm today. And I frankly like the fact that he was upset for 2 days about that game. He should be. Like, why not? You know, if that's how he feels about it, I'm into it. But at the same time, you know, you can say something like, what did the team do well, you know, in the first few drives where you're saying to yourself, this is more successful. Like, don't forget, he didn't call enough run plays against the Packers to start the first two drives the first game. Like, that sits with me. You know, like I said, I think DeAndre Swift to the right side would have been effective continually on that drive against the Lions. There are things where I say to myself, and it's typically run the ball more, where maybe you would have kept your defense off the field a little bit more had those things happened in the first couple drives.
Well, it was 16-0 in the third quarter. I mean, that says it all. And Caleb started to get it on. The TD passes to Walker and Kmet were right on, but then what did I say? Kmet. No, there wasn't.
Kmet had the 2-point conversion.
Oh, my bad. You're right.
You're good.
You're right. Boy, I'm glad you saved me from that embarrassment from tonight. You know, who knows? I might have been like, "Hey, I'm
you would have gotten
it." I seriously want to know how his head is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would imagine he's okay. I mean, it's all signs point to Cole coming as okay, but we'll wait until the sort of injury report comes out today.
Listen, he could have stopped after the first three words of that answer.
I don't know.
Because that's the truth. Because if he knew, he would have changed something by now.
I don't.
It's an ongoing problem.
I don't necessarily think so. I feel like they've been working on a different set of plays for a while now. It's more pocket-based. There wasn't a lot of rollouts compared to what there had been in previous months. There seems to be a deliberate tone change when it comes to a lot of what we're seeing out of the offense.
Well, no, isn't that, though, him looking for different things to try to solve the problem of how we start games?
Not necessarily. Not if he's trying to also teach his quarterback while the games are going on. Like, that's the part I can't factor in.
I do think that is a factor. I think he is trying to still bring Caleb higher on an individual level within the framework of the offense and, you know, winning a football game.
Don't forget that's he said... That God, why does that make me feel upset every time I hear it?
Well, it's not like we haven't gotten used to life without Kyler Gordon, and that's the question that he's answering. Yeah. Is Kyler going to play? That's the hope.
But it applies to a lot of things these days, or this week specifically.
I also like it when coaches let their sarcasm rip a little bit. Like, that's the hope.
I don't know that he was being sarcastic.
Hey, he's been doing that with Kyler. Like, way. Kyler, like, paraphrasing, saying, kind of just basically said, I don't really know the guy that well. He hadn't been around here very much. You
Double
know?
Entendre.
Yeah, something like that.
Coming up next, it is 5 on It, our 5 most pertinent sports questions that we've decided on. Not the most important ones, necessarily. The ones that press us the most. So we will do that coming up next on Raheemy Harris and Grody.